This is the Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast. Barstool Talk Daily. Except it's really early in the morning and no booze. For the most part.
The Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast is brought to you by Lindio. If you are a small business and you need a small business loan, think Lindio.
So Joanna was off all week last week.
Mm-hmm.
And you have said that you did not look at the news once.
I did not.
So there could be some news stories that could be secondary to a story from last week or an update to something.
Let me know.
To be real news. New news.
Yes.
To Joanna this morning.
Wake up, fool! And the weather's
good. Wow! Okay. Today is Monday.
TGIM.
And with our first look at news for the week, here's Joanna Barbacoa. Good morning, Joanna.
Good morning, Brandon. Well, back in January, Hasbro announced that they were going to go do some big changes to Monopoly's game pieces. Some of the classics were going to get kicked out and replaced by new ones, and they put the whole thing to a vote. And the results are in. I hope nobody mentioned this in news last week.
No, actually.
Okay, well, three of the classic tokens are out and three new ones are in. Monopoly is officially getting rid of the thimble, the wheelbarrow, and the boot. And the new tokens replacing them are a T-Rex, a rubber ducky, and a penguin.
What?
Yeah, a T-Rex, a rubber ducky, and a penguin.
I thought the whole point of this was to update it to current day things. How is a T-Rex? Is it because of the Jurassic Park movies?
Probably.
Is that what's going on there?
A rubber ducky. A penguin, though.
A penguin, I can back that choice. Penguins are awesome.
A T-Rex. Have you seen the picture of it? It's really cute.
No, is it a full T-Rex or is it like the head?
Yeah, it's like the full T-Rex, little arms and everything.
I'll have to look into maybe purchasing the new Monopoly set with the new pieces.
That means that the old school pieces that managed to get enough votes to survive are the Scotty Dog, the Top Hat, the Car, the Cat, and a Battleship. There's a Battleship?
Yeah, you can never get rid of the race car. Because when you're going around, you make it sound like you're actually driving.
Well, some of the possible tokens that didn't get the votes included four different emoji faces, a hashtag sign, a thumbs up, sunglasses, a Vespa scooter, a monster truck, a cell phone, a TV, and a NASCAR race car. Huh.
Yeah, see, I thought
the cell phone would make it.
Yeah, cell phone or any of the, at least one of the emojis. But then again, if they had multiple options, then maybe that was what prevented one of them from getting in, because rather than one emoji getting all of the votes, it split all of those votes amongst four, which wasn't enough to get it into the updated version of Monopoly.
Which one is your go-to piece?
I don't even think I had a go-to piece. I was always the one that got stuck with whatever nobody wanted.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
The iron.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of which piece.
I always tried to get the top hat.
I always liked the top hat because you could put it on your thumb.
Yeah, and then
on your pinky.
And then in my family, we lost the pieces. So it became beans. We were all a different bean.
A different kind. Your garbanzo.
Yeah. Your pinto. Well, I think I've mentioned it before that I'm a sucker for crazy proposal stories. A couple of weeks ago, we learned about the guy who proposed in a helicopter and then got airsick.
Oh, yeah.
During.
With video.
That was great. Well, today I have a new crazy one. A couple from Ohio named George Begala and Katie Woodford were on vacation in Arizona last Thursday when George decided to propose at the top of Camelback Mountain in Phoenix, which is about 3,000 feet high. So they hiked to the top together, and he popped the question. And the good news was, she said yes. But then right after the proposal, Katie started hyperventilating and her muscles cramped up. It turned out she was dehydrated and overheated from the hike. So George called 911, and she had to be airlifted out by a helicopter.
Whoops.
Well, luckily, she was okay. But then after they rescued her, someone realized George's heart rate was way too high from the walk back down to the mountain. So the helicopter had to come back and rescue him, too. He told the local
news. I didn't know they sent it twice.
Yeah, they had to go back for him. So he told the local news that his proposal didn't quite go as planned, but it's a good story to tell. Again, what happened to just going to a restaurant?
Yeah, get down on one knee.
Getting down on one
put
knee.
You put it in the champagne glass.
Yeah, right.
Do something other than hike up a mountain and have to be airlifted out of there.
Do all this strenuous activity just for a proposal. I love it.
I have a feeling this is how, like, if I were to ever to propose, this is how it's going to go.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you want to get married?
You're sitting on the couch watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to get married?
You want to get married?
And she's like, yeah.
All right, cool.
You're great.
And that's the story.
That's a great story. I like it. Let me know when that happens. Hey, Brendan, have you ever imagined what it would be like to win the lottery?
Oh, I imagine that all the time.
Yeah, do you have
Doesn't
like
everybody?
I think so. Do you have like a special list of things that you would want to do or buy if you ever wanted?
There's not. I don't think there's a specific list because it changes constantly.
Oh, right.
But if you win the lottery, there's certain things that I would do with it where, you know, buy a house, pay off all your debt.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Your credit cards or whatever it may be.
Get rid of all that hard stuff at first.
Take care of your family. Mm-hmm. You know, like kick your parents. I got a sister. Give her some money.
A 19-year-old kid.
Now, this is depending on how much the win is worth.
Right,
I mean, if it's only like $2 million, I'm sorry, I'm keeping the $2 million. Now, if I win $500 million, I think I could find some to spare.
Yeah, you get a million, you get a million.
Yeah, it'll be Oprah. You get $1 million, you get $1 million.
Well, a 19-year-old kid in Michigan recently bought a $10 lottery ticket at a gas station near Lansing and hit the jackpot for $500,000. And believe it or not, he doesn't want to blow it all on limos and jet skis. Instead, he's planning to invest $5,000 of it and says he's going to give the rest of the money to his parents.
Oh, that's so nice. Unlike that one guy that we had. Remember the...
Yeah.
He's standing in line. This is when the jackpot, I think, was upwards
it was
of a billion.
It was up to a billion
like
that time.
And they asked him, what are you going to do with the money? Bunch of hookers and cocaine. And that guy.
The reporter's like, oh,
That guy's my hero.
Yeah. But he wants to remain anonymous, so his name hasn't been released, but he says the money will take a huge weight off of their shoulders, and they deserve it for everything that they've done for him growing up.
That's so cute.
Well, science now says there's truth behind the concept of going into a food coma. After you eat, your gastrointestinal tract is activated, which means blood flow heads to the stomach and intestines so you can digest your food, and there's less blood in the brain, which can make you feel tired. Certain foods like carbohydrates with a high glycemic index and protein trigger a food coma more than others. Have you ever been in food comas where you're just like, I'm not going to make it today anymore?
You know, that used to happen. There was a lumber company I worked at where we started this like Friday barbecue. We're out in the lumber yard. We had a grill, and then one of the managers would send one of us, you know, we go get a bunch of burgers, buns, hot dogs, potato salad, whatever, you know, everything that you have for a barbecue. And so it was kind of as a like a thank you to our customers. So when they would come in on a Friday, you know, hey, here's your lumber, here's a burger. And then obviously we got fed too, and we noticed that all of a sudden after lunch, productivity just kind of went down a little bit. I just remember there was one time I was sitting there, and I'm sitting on like a stack of plywood, and I'm just like, I'm starting to doze off. And I wasn't even that tired, but it was after I ate like, you know, a double burger and, you know, some French fries, and it was just kind of just very slowly falling asleep.
A new poll finds that globally, 92% of people say sleep is crucial to their overall health, with many believing it directly affects the quality of their lives. 74% of people believe a good night's sleep is a key to a happy marriage, with Japan at 89% and the U.S. at 79% feeling that way the most. 82% of folks experience a negative impact on just one bad night's sleep, and the top negative effects include looking tired, being less productive, and feeling unmotivated. But even with all that being true, sleep is still a far priority in most people's lives. 84% of people say there's something else in their life that's more important than a good night's sleep. In France, 53% of adults say spending time with family is more important than sleep, while 48% of Germans and 46% of Americans agree.
Hmm.
What is more important than sleep?
Food.
Actually, I have a few friends that say they don't want to miss out on anything, so they don't mind missing out on a few hours of sleep.
Really?
Yeah, and so they'll be like, no, if there's a concert happening, we're going to it. If there's a party happening, they'll go to it.
I used to think that
way. And I'm like, I am way too tired.
Yeah.
Go on, let me know how it goes. Just do it. All right, Brendan, tell me if you agree or disagree with this. A new study found out of the University of Pittsburgh found that men need alcohol to have a good time hanging out, but women don't.
Do I agree or disagree?
Yeah.
I would agree with that because frequently when there's a bunch of guys hanging out, they're having some beers.
Mm-hmm. Well, the main reason that they say it is because men are too embarrassed to show emotions, even happiness. But after they've been drinking, they smile more and they're less inhibited and they have a better time and feel closer to their friends.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, well, women.
You get that drunk moment, you put your arm around your buddy. Hey, man.
I love you.
Have I told you how much you mean to me, dude?
Well,
that moment.
Women don't need alcohol to show their emotions so they can have fun and bond without it. Oh,
that's yeah, weird. Well, there's only one problem with alcohol.
What is that?
Too much ha-ha, pretty soon boo-hoo.
Too much ha-ha, pretty soon boo-hoo.
Oh, yes. I'm telling you that. St. Patrick's Day.
The pickleback.
Yeah, I never knew. And I was like, is it because it's green?
And no. As far as I know, I mean, I think that you might see more of that on St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But St. Patrick's Day, I don't think was the first time that I was introduced to it.
God. No more whiskey for Joanna. Well, there's so many craft breweries now that some of them are trying to get attention by using strange ingredients. In just the past few years, we've seen some beers made out of things like Wheaties, Oreos, Ben & Jerry's, and High C Ecto Cooler. Well, Stone Brewing Company in San Diego just created a new beer called Full Circle Pale Ale that's made out of sewage water, which I think is kind of a waste because America already has a beer with that flavor. It's called Miller High Life.
The campaign of beers.
Anyway, the people at the Stone Brewing swear the water has been treated so it's safe to drink, and they wanted to make it because one day in the more environmentally friendly future, we'll all be drinking treated and recycled water. And if you want to take the brewer's word for it, the beer is actually pretty good. He says, quote, among the pale ales I've had, it's probably in the top three. It's very clean tasting beer.
Wait, the owner said that?
Yeah, the owner
said that.
What
the hell else is he going to say?
He's like, drink my sewage beer.
Our beer sucks. Sorry.
Don't drink it.
Yeah, of course he's going to say it tastes good.
Well, it hasn't gone on sale yet, but maybe they'll get enough demand that they'll soon let it hit stores. And finally, FBI Director James Comey will make a much-anticipated appearance today before House Intelligence Committee in the first of several public hearings congressional intelligence committees are expected to hold on Russian interference in the election. Within the first minutes of a much-anticipated House hearing, Comey is expected to officially undercut the wiretapping allegations that have been promoted by the White House for more than 2 weeks. According to sources familiar with his thinking, Comey's expected comments to the House Intelligence Committee will mark the U.S. law enforcement community's first public response to President Donald Trump's continuing insistence that the Obama administration wiretapped or otherwise conducted surveillance of Trump's presidential campaign. National Security Agency Director Mike Rogers will also testify. And with news, I'm Joanna Barba.
So that was kind of one of the stories last week was them trying to explain what he meant
by wiretapping.
And really what came out of it was, well, I put wiretap in quotes, so it basically means anything.
No.
It doesn't necessarily mean wiretap. So apparently if you put something in quotes, it can be anything. Yes.
Oh.
I'm a millionaire, Joanna. Did you know that? And by that, I mean I'm broke.
Today, official beginning of spring.
I am in a fantastic mood today, and I don't know why.
I better call the doctor, because I've got spring fever.
That is great, and it makes you feel good.
Good morning, sunshine.
What kind of mood elevator are you on?
Good morning, sunshine.
They've been in remarkably good moods.
I bet you just fart, sunshine. If he gets too much direct sunlight, he'll die.
No way.
So you're just a happy camper.
You'd be happy, happy.
You're listening to the Buzz Adams Morning Show Podcast.
It's an alternative fact when the truth is so whack. Not a lie, don't say that. Here's an alternative fact.
All right, tonight is the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars, so the alternative fact quiz has to do with Dancing with the Stars. Number one, Joanna, fact or alternative fact, Chris Kattan is the first former Saturday Night Live cast member to compete on the show.
Huh.
Fact or alternative
fact? I'm going to say fact because I don't think I've heard of another Saturday Night Live member on it. Mungo.
That's a fact.
You got it.
Oh, yay me.
His partner is Whitney Carson. She won with Carlton, Alfonso Ribeiro, back in 2014 and danced with Vanilla Ice last season. Chris Kattan, first Saturday Night Live member.
All right.
Number two,
our good friend.
Factor alternative fact, Michael Bolton's son is one of the contestants this season. His name is Bonner Bolton.
Bonner Bolton. Michael Bolton. I just reminds me of fact. Office Space.
Why should I change my name? He's the one that sucks.
I'm going to go with fact.
That's an alternative fact.
Oh, he has no relation to Michael Bolton. Bonner is a professional bull rider who was temporarily paralyzed after he broke his neck last year and had to retire. Now he's a male model. You are one for two.
So he's the star. Then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the star, and he is not related to Michael Bolton.
No relation.
Number three, factor alternative fact, retired Cubs catcher David Ross will be the first former Major League Baseball player to compete.
I'm sure they've had baseball players before, right? I'll go with alternative fact.
That's a fact.
Oh, I'm really bad at this.
All right. They have never had a baseball player
really?
On the show. And he retired last year after the Cubs won the World Series. You're one for three, Joanna.
No.
Here's number four, fact or alternative fact. Nancy Kerrigan will compete this season 9 years after Tanya Harding was a contestant on the show.
Really? And I'm asking you as if you know this.
Well, I have it right here.
You
but
have the answer.
It's a fact or alternative fact.
That
would be like wow. That would be like buzzing in on Jeopardy and being like, what is it, Alex?
Well, I'm going to go with alternative fact.
That's an alternative fact.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you are now two for four. Nancy is on the show this season, but Tanya has never been a contestant. We are on number five. This
that
is
would
for all
be
the marbles.
Scandalous.
This is for all the marbles, Joanna. All right, fact or alternative fact. At 76 years old, Mr. T will be the oldest person to ever compete on the show Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I would have assumed it was, what's his name, Rick Perry. Wasn't he old? He was pretty
Maybe.
Old. I'm going to go with fact.
Fact?
You get nothing.
Oh.
You lose. Good day, sir.
Oh,
well,
that is.
That's an alternative
is it?
Fact.
Mr. T is actually only 64 years old. The oldest is still Cloris Leachman, who did the show in 2008 when she was 82 years
wow.
old.
Oh, wow. She's awesome.
Cloris Leachman.
And
now,
I'm bad at this.
Well, we'll hopefully have another alternative fact quiz
I'll
later
brush
on.
Brush up on stuff.
This show this week, and hopefully we'll be able to get you a victory here.
Yes.
And it's time to check in on some sports. And this actually just popped up on my Facebook feed. You remember the Tom Brady jersey that they haven't been able to find?
Uh-huh. Have they found it?
Apparently they have.
Oh.
And this was according to Jay Glazer. Fox Sports has learned the FBI and NFL security believe they have located Tom Brady's stolen Super Bowl jersey and are in the process of returning it to the Patriots. That's what Glazer wrote. And he didn't provide full details, but he did note that Brady's jersey was on foreign soil.
Oh, no.
So somebody took it and left the country, apparently. And
nice.
If you remember, Vladimir Putin stole Bob Kraft, or Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, his Super Bowl ring.
Oh, my God.
Like, they met, and he showed it to him. Putin put it on, and then
and
just
then
walked
away with it. He's like, thank you for the
thank
gift.
Thank you for the ring, friend. I will now become Patriot fan. It's okay.
And checking in on other sports over the weekend, some upsets. After a relatively tame opening 2 days with no major upsets, the number one overall seed and defending national champion got ousted in the first weekend when number eight seeded Wisconsin Badgers upset Villanova 65-62 at Buffalo's Key Bank Center. Wisconsin senior forward Nigel Hayes scored the game-winning basket with seconds to go in the game as the Badgers stunned the top-seeded Villanova Wildcats.
Here's Koenig. And the possession arrow is with Villanova, so they can hold on to it if they get a rebound. Nigel Hayes, wow.
Villanova head coach Jay Wright understands this loss is how the season is going to be remembered.
To me, there's no dishonor in losing in this tournament, but I do know that, and we've lived through it, you are judged by how you play in this tournament, and that's the reality of it.
The South Carolina Gamecocks took down Duke last night 88 81. The Gamecocks trailed by 10 points early in the second half after one of its coldest shooting stretches of the season so far. South Carolina rallied to win two NCAA games for the first time in 44 years. Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski said this was his team's toughest game all year long.
They played a heck of a game. You know, it's the toughest defense we've played against all year. Very physical. Actually, the most physical game we've been in all year. But that's how hard they play, and I thought our kids played hard too, and they played better.
Next up is the East Regional at Madison Square Garden, where the Gamecocks will face third-seeded Baylor, who ironically beat the other USC, that would be Southern California, by a score of 82-78. The entire Michigan basketball team got the scare of a lifetime when the team's plane crashed through a fence as it was about to take off prior to the Big Ten tournament. And while the plane may have stopped, the Wolverines have not, as they marched through the Big Ten tournament to win the entire thing and earn themselves a number 7 seed in the NCAA tournament. And they ousted Louisville with a 73-69 win yesterday.
Mitchell, that is blocked by Wilson. And the Wolverines' journey continues.
Louisville head coach Rick Pitino says his team gave great effort but just made too many mental mistakes.
These guys have given me A-plus effort the whole year. We lose games because mentally we have a very difficult time focusing in on what to do defensively, and cost us the game tonight by constantly giving them their right hand, which has to be taken away.
And Spike Lee, who just so happens to be turning 60 years old today, spent some time with Colin Kaepernick yesterday, shared a picture of the two together on Instagram with quite a strong message attached to it that was aimed at, of all teams, the New York Jets. He said, "Just had brunch with my brother Colin Kaepernick. How is it that there are 32 NFL teams and Cap is still a free agent? WTF. Smells mad fishy to me. Stinks to the high heavens. The New York Jets need a quarterback. Who is the Jets quarterback? Is my man Joe Willie Namath coming back? Crazy times we live in. The question remains what owner and GM is going to step up and sign Colin so their team has a better chance to win. Now, reports are that NFL GMs basically just don't like Colin Kaepernick at this point, and nobody believes that he can help their team. And finally, Joanna. I'm going to play this clip for you.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me if you know when this guy makes a mistake.
And I appreciate my fans also. My wife and my girlfriend. I'm so sorry, my wife. Listen, I love you so much. I love you so much from my heart.
All right, did you pick up on it?
Did he say my wife and my girlfriend?
Yeah, he thanked both of them.
I'm hoping he meant my wife, who I still think of as my girlfriend.
Muhammad Anas. He scored both of his team's goals in his Free State Stars 2-2 draw with Ajax Cape Town this past Friday, but really dropped the ball afterwards. During the post-game interview, he thanked two women for his success. His wife. And his girlfriend.
And I appreciate my fans also. My wife and my girlfriend.
That's great.
And with sports, I'm Brandon Coates.
The Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast is brought to you by Lendio. Lendio is a small business loan specialist searching the web for qualified lenders to fund your next project, payroll, pay for supplies, or pay for vacations.
It's time for the Hollywood Buzz. With Joanna Barbacoa on this Monday.
Barbacoa.
Hollywood Buzz minus Buzz.
Again.
Good morning, Joanna.
Good morning. Again, if any of this is not news to you guys, let me know, because I was not up to date with anything while I was gone.
Joanna, would you change your stage name to Barbecue?
Barbecue.
Just Joanna Barbecue.
No.
Don't like Barbacoa?
I love Barbacoa. I just think it'd be funnier to be called Barbecue.
Joanna BBQ.
BBQ. Oh, I kind of like that. Well, sad news to report. Chuck Berry died on Saturday at the age of 90. He was a rock and roll pioneer who was best known for songs like Roll Over Beethoven, Johnny B. Goode, and for influencing bands like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. According to Chuck's family, his health had deteriorated recently, but he spent his last days at home surrounded by his family and friends. Yesterday, Mick Jagger said in a tweet, quote, "I want to thank him for the inspirational music he gave us. He lit up our teenage years. He blew life into our dreams of being musicians and performers. His lyrics shone above others and threw a strange light on the American dream. Chuck, you were amazing, and your music is engraved inside us forever." And I felt really bad yesterday when I asked my mom he was still alive.
Yeah, Joanna and I had the exact same reaction.
You didn't know that Chuck Barry was still alive?
No, nope. I did not.
When I saw all the posts and I was like, oh, like, is this another one of those where all of a sudden a guy who died 3 years ago,
it's
like,
barely,
you know, that happens.
Surfacing.
Like, yeah, somebody will pass away, a few years will pass, and then all of a sudden it'll be like, oh, that person died. And then they, like, it starts getting reshared again over mm-hmm. and over again.
I wonder if anybody told his first cousin, Marvin.
Marvin?
Marvin Barry.
It's just your cousin, Marvin! Listen to this!
That's great, you guys. Felicia Odell, a.k.a. Auntie Fee, a.k.a. Chef Sista Girl, has died of a heart attack. She was 59 years old. Fee's son, Travis, the one who filmed his mom in the kitchen and caught the wrath of her hilarious profanity, posted a message on Facebook late Friday. Do any of you know who I'm talking about right now?
No.
Her name is Auntie Fee on YouTube, and she does a series of videos. I mean, we cannot play any of these videos because they are very
expletive.
Yeah.
NSFW?
Very.
Yeah.
But it is, they are hilarious. She, and then her recipes are not bad. She does one where she just does a bunch of ramen noodles in the, like, a skillet. And then she does this one called Good Ass Chicken in the Sink. Oh, you guys got to try them.
It's recipe, but...
Yeah, she does, like, cooking videos on YouTube.
But why is it not safe for work?
Because she uses a lot of bad words.
A lot of really naughty language.
Yeah, okay. But she is hilarious, and her chicken is delicious. You should try it.
It's delicioso?
Yeah, in 2014, Fee went viral with her expletive-laced cooking videos on good-ass chicken and sweet treats for the kids. That one's pretty good, too. Those videos have been watched millions of times. She was featured on many talk shows after the videos went viral, including Steve Harvey, Jimmy Fallon, and she also appeared in the film Barbershop 3 as Anthony Anderson's mother, Mabel.
They made a third Barbershop? Wait, was that the one with Queen Latifah?
Yeah.
No, okay. That's a different one.
Oh, God.
That's like a spinoff.
That's Beauty Shop.
That's a spinoff of Barbershop.
Was it a Tyler Perry joint?
No.
I'm lost.
Get with it, friend.
No, Taff.
Beauty and the Beast set box office records with a massive $170 million opening at the U.S. box office. It was the biggest opening ever for a PG movie. The previous record holder was last year's Finding Dory with $135 million. It also snagged the record for best March opening, taking the title from Batman vs. Superman, which debuted at $166 million last March. Beauty and the Beast also had the 7th best opening of all time in the U.S. and it's the 2nd best non-summer best opening behind The Force Awakens with $248 million. Do you want to know the rest of the top 10 in the box office?
Yeah, do it up.
Wait, did you see Beauty and the Beast?
No, that's the one movie I didn't see this past week. I saw Kong Skull Island, which is at number 2. I saw Logan, which is at number 3. Woo. Get Out, I've seen that one, and it's in its 4th week already. The Shack, I saw that one, and that one is in its 3rd week. The Shack?
Like shacking up?
No, but it includes a shack, and it's... really one to warm your heart, really.
Oh,
in these cold times.
Lego Batman is number 6. The Belko Experiment, I saw that. It is at number 7. You should really see that one. That's a good one. Number 8 is Hidden Figures. Number 9 is John Wick Chapter 2. And number 10 is Before I Fall in its 3rd week. Rose McGowan and WWE diva Paige have just become the victims of the latest celebrity hack that also victimized Emma Watson and Amanda Seyfried. Both had X-rated videos and photos leaked. Rose has threatened to involve the Justice Department. In Rose's case, the video shows a man putting his mouth in a very dirty place. Obviously, she's not happy about it, and she tweeted this, quote, "Hey, little hacker boys, mama is coming and she hits hard." This is the 3rd time in the last year or so that she's had X-rated material leaked. As for Paige, she's dealing with the leak of several brief video clips that show her both by herself and with guys. There's one where she's with 2, and if you're a wrestling fan, you'll recognize their names. One is current WWE superstar Xavier Woods from the tag team The New Day, and the other is Brad Maddox, who used to be with the WWE. She tweeted that the stuff was stolen from her and published without her consent.
So, do you think the guy ate some Orbitz for his dirty mouth?
Am I the only one that thought of the Mallrats quote when she said that too? The put his mouth in a dirty place, and I was like, yeah, they had sex in an uncomfortable place. What, the back of a Volkswagen?
The back of a Volkswagen.
Warner Brothers has pushed back the release of Aquaman from October 2018 to Christmas of 2018. The studio announced in a statement obtained by Variety on Thursday, the film adaptation of the titular comic book character stars Game of Thrones' Jason Momoa. He had a cameo in last year's Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice and has a larger role in Justice League due out next fall. Speaking of Justice League, Henry Cavill has signed on for the upcoming sequel, Mission Impossible 6. Director Christopher McQuarrie made the announcement on Instagram Thursday, writing, "Say, at Henry Cavill, I had a thought. Curious if you're interested in a role in the sixth installment of Mission Impossible. No pressure." Cavill responded in the comment section saying, "How can I say no to a man with such perfect hair?" And a series of back and forth tagging concluded with McQuarrie writing, "At Henry Cavill, outstanding. Welcome aboard. Your social media account will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Mission Impossible 6 is set for a 2018 release. And the Muppets of Sesame Street are getting a new neighbor. Julia, a new Muppet girl with autism, will be debuting on the series in the coming weeks. The announcement was made Sunday night on a segment of CBS's 60 Minutes. Julia's arrival on Sesame Street won't be her debut. However, Julia was featured in a digital storybook called Sesame Street and Autism, Seeing the Amazing in All Children in 2015. The Sesame Street creative team worked with autism educators, organizations, and families in developing Julia's depiction. And finally, the Super Bowl usually inspires more than a few complaints to the FCC, but this year, only 2 of the 111 million Americans who watched the game saw something that wounded their delicate sensibilities. One person from Wigan, Georgia, complained that the Patriots dropping F-bombs while they were celebrating with the Lombardi Trophy after the game. And that's a pretty legit claim. The other complaint came from Pittsburgh, and it's a little unhinged. It reads just this: Lady Gaga is an anagram of Sharia law. That is all.
Wait,
the complaints.
So these were the official FCC complaints?
Yes.
I remember when the Patriots won, and they were, and Willie McGinnis was walking the trophy up, and you heard all the F-bombs and stuff like that. So apparently the FCC only got one complaint, but people hit social media up nonstop about complaining about how could you allow that, and there's F-bombs, blah, 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 and all this other stuff, and you know, there's really no way around that, unfortunately.
Yeah, one word: Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. That's not one word.
That's not one word.
You have to say it faster.
One word.
No.
Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson.
One word.
There's all one word. Just take
my
space.
Complaint was those crappy commercials this year. There's my complaint.
Mm. Yeah, they're all right.
Nah, see, during commercial breaks, I was on suicide watch, so I don't think I watched any of the...
suicide watch.
For the first three quarters of that game, you kidding me? Oh,
Brendan.
Yeah.
Get him away from the knives.
Commercial break would come over, and I would just go over to my dining room table and start slamming my head.
Oh, because if you lost, you were going to get hit in the face.
No, I'm a Patriot fan.
No, I don't care about aside from the fish, he's a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Get with it, Nico.
Yeah, well.
I'm with Hollywood Buzz. I'm Joanna Barbacoa.
You're listening to the Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast.
And now, today in sound clips.
Here is today's news with sound bites and actualities with Joanna Barbacoa. Good morning, Joanna.
Good Barbecue. Morning, you guys. A little girl has been going around the school telling her teachers that they were growing weed at her house. When the father went to pick his daughter up from school, the teacher pulled him aside to ask him a question about it. After being quite confused on what the teacher was saying, he asked his daughter what she was referring to.
Did you tell them that we have a lot of weed in our house?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah.
Because when I got to your school, the teacher said, "I heard you have a lot of weed at your house."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to explain that?
Are we growing?
Nope.
Are we growing weed at our house?
Yeah.
A lot of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little bit, but it's gonna grow a lot.
It's gonna grow a lot, and then what do we do with the weed?
We're gonna get it out and throw it to another place.
She was referring to the weeds that are growing around the house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That they get to, you know, chop up and throw out.
I was wondering if...
The dad's like, "Oh, I swear."
Yeah.
He's all
Brandon,
freaking
you look
out.
Disappointed.
He did seem nice and calm the whole time where he's like, "Are we growing weed?"
Yeah.
All right.
He was like, "Now tell me where.
How do we handle our problems?
Did you tell them that you got the purple kush?
Some gorilla glue?
There you go. A little Maui Wowie."
Oh, Brandon, did you see this headline in the sports section about Shaquille O'Neal?
Oh, and then he believes that the earth is flat?
The earth is flat.
Is he a flat earther? Oh, my God.
My gut's telling me he's joking. Because
I think he is joking.
Because you have had some people come out, like Kyrie Irving, where people weren't really sure whether he believed it or not. And I knowing Shaq's sense of humor, I think he's joking, but, you know.
Maybe he's so tall, he can see the curvature of the earth. Yeah. He doesn't need to believe the flat earth.
All 7 foot two of them.
Yeah. Oh, that got you on.
It's turning red.
Yeah, that one got her.
Oh my God, that was so funny. Okay. Well, here's Shaquille.
Wait, she just did this thing to you. The wave of the hand, she waved me off. That was the you stop. Oh, you stop.
Stop it. Okay, well, here's Shaquille O'Neal on the big podcast where he's saying that the earth is flat.
The earth is flat.
Shaq, what are you talking about?
The earth is flat.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is. I drive from coast to coast, and the shit's flat to me.
I drive from Florida. It's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
I drive from Florida to California all the time. I do not go up and down in a 360 degree angle and all that stuff about gravity. Have you looked outside of Atlanta lately and seen all these buildings? So you mean to tell me that China is under us?
The world is not flat. Yes, it is. We've seen the Earth.
No, we haven't seen anything.
Yes, you have. You've seen it from satellite imagery.
Oh, satellite imagery that could be drawn and made up.
That could be drawn and made up.
Who's the one guy that believes in mermaids?
He was one of the Rams from St. Louis to Los Angeles, and he believes in mermaids.
He's not a child?
No.
He's not a child.
He's in the NFL.
He's a grown man.
And he not only believed in mermaids, but he also believes that dinosaurs did not exist.
Oh, well, that's true.
Let me tell you, it's
flat.
I got a feeling that the earth is really flat.
See those buildings over there?
I can see it from right here.
Those buildings can't be there.
An engineer in Spain named Sergey Santos created an interactive sex doll that talks to you and responds to foreplay. He calls it Samantha. Here's Santos talking about how Samantha works.
Samantha is interactive. Basically, she likes to be touched. She has different modes of interaction. She has romantic, she has family, and she has also sexy modes. But you can touch Samantha, for example, in the hips. You can touch Samantha also in the arms. You can touch Samantha in the hands. You can kiss Samantha. She likes to be kissed. Normally, she likes to be kissed always. And also, she responds to basically the G-spots and also the breasts. She can also respond to the hands. So basically, the hands are family, they're romantic. The hips are family and romantic. And basically, the spots where basically she feels sexy would be mouth and the G-spot. She has a way of interacting that initially she would like to be romantic, she would like to be family, and you get to a point where she wants to be sexual. The objective, final objective of the sexual mode is to get her to the orgasm.
Nico's listening over here.
I figured that Nico was sitting there going through his bank account to see how much this thing's going to cost and whether or not he can afford it.
She likes it. She likes to be touched. Like, she likes to be touched?
Yes, she does.
A little borderline creepy.
Well, here is Samantha interacting with Santos and also special guest Amazon's Alexa.
Samantha?
Oh, so it's a threesome.
Oh, yeah.
Samantha?
What's up?
Romantic.
Now then, do you want to get romantic?
Yes.
Alexa, switch on the living room lights to 40%.
Okay.
Alexa, play love songs on Pandora.
Getting your love songs station from Pandora.
What?
Love songs radio.
Now then, I found a girl.
Beautiful and sweet.
Did they pick country? Is that what's going on there?
Worst bang music.
Isn't that crazy?
But it gives a new definition to the, you know, electronic scissors.
I think this is hilarious. First of all, of course, a guy named Sergey created a sex robot.
Sergey.
And I like how he's like talking, like, she has feelings. Like, she really loves people and wants to have, like, you know.
This is this guy's life. He's talking to Samantha and Alexa.
Yeah.
He's never lonely. Oh.
They're never
gonna... Or very, very lonely.
Yeah. When you spend a year making a robot in your basement, you tend to get lonely.
I cannot wait until this robot comes to life, yeah? All I need to do is get some tuna fish, make it smell real.
He was Sergey Santos, not Sergey Vladimir.
Nah, but I like Sergey the Russian guy.
Well, in today's WTF Florida news, Florida resident Monica Dorsett was driving down the street in her car when a red snake slithered from her air conditioner vent next to her left hand. In a panic and stuck in traffic, Monica raced to a parking lot and ran out of her car. Here's a clip of Monica recalling what happened.
Here's this snake curling out of this vent right next to my hand. And then I thought, oh my gosh, it is real. And I thought I was going to just like stop there, but I was surrounded by traffic. So I looked and I didn't see anybody in this mirror, so I just did a turn, right turn, over two lanes into a parking lot.
Whoa. Oh,
that's crazy.
Hell. That's almost as bad as toilet snakes, I gotta tell you right now.
Where did it come out of?
The vent.
The vent of her air conditioner vent.
So if you're driving the car, you've got that one vent that's over on the left-hand side, this little snake.
It was like, hey.
That is creepy. That sounds like somebody cursed your car.
Has Scott told you his snake in the bathtub new story?
Is this something we can tell on the air? Is this one of Scott's weird sex stories?
No, I think you could tell it on air, but you have to ask him about it. He told me and my sister. Oh, it's a good story.
We'll have to get Scott really in this week at some point to hear the story. Because on the AfterBuzz, we heard all about Scott's fantastic bathhouse adventure.
Oh, my God. Dude, his bathhouse adventure is one of the funniest stories I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So many questions.
Just go back to, if you go to buzzadamshow.com, we put the posts up for the AfterBuzz, and there was one where Nico joined me. And
with Kool-Aid last week. Was it with Kool-Aid?
No, this was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago. Oh. And I do a brief synopsis of it, and you can, if you find the one that talks about Scott's bathhouse story, well worth watching.
Who was the guy that he thought he looked like?
Alan
Toussaint.
Alan Toussaint.
Yeah, so it's the musician, Arkansas, Alan Toussaint. Bathhouse, and Alan Toussaint. Those are three key words that will tell you.
I'm about to tune in.
Well
on that
worth
one.
Checking out, I'm just saying.
A serial dine and dash dater from last year is back perfecting his crime in Los Angeles. Paul Gonzalez takes girls out on dates and leaves them before the check comes out and never comes back. Here's a clip of his latest victim talking about what happened.
So I was shocked that anybody would do this. So, and I even texted him and I said, is everything okay? And he obviously never responded, but I thought, okay, let me just text that and see, you know, what happened. And he never responded.
Dude's getting a free meal then, huh?
Mad respect.
He's all like toodles.
Yeah. Mad respect to that, bro.
I can't believe they haven't caught this guy.
Pulling a fast one over. Now, he's not even trying to get dates.
No, he's just trying to get free food.
He's just trying to get free. But he like asked dinner. These women out, and these women are saying yes, as if they thought that something might happen with this dude.
So he can't be, you know,
too scummy. Yeah, he couldn't be too skeezy.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, we could try this.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Brandon has a girlfriend. You should try it, Nico.
No, he should try it on his girlfriend. Like, take her to a restaurant.
Wait, and ditch on
and
her?
And just leave and then be like.
Yeah, he's and, in you, the and car. You get to find a ride, too.
I'll see you at home.
Yeah. Have fun walking.
Well, I mentioned this before. I'm a sucker for proposal stories. Nico, do you like those proposal stories that make it viral?
What kind of, proposing a new project?
A couple weeks ago, we had one proposals. On a guy who proposed to his girlfriend in a helicopter, and he got airsick.
Puking all over the place.
So that's hilarious.
Well, a guy from Ohio took his girlfriend on vacation in Phoenix, and he took her on a hike to the top of a mountain so he could propose to her.
Aww.
The good news was that she said yes. But the bad news was she got heat sickness and had to be airlifted to the hospital. This is George Regala talking about being afraid for his fiance, Katie Woodward.
I was absolutely terrified. I mean, I just proposed and I'm seeing the woman that I love just, you know, really suffering. And it definitely made me appreciate her a little bit more. And I definitely think it brought us closer together.
Yeah, well, the good news is that she's okay. And after they rescued her, though, someone realized that George's heart rate was way too high to walk back down the mountain. So then a helicopter had to come back and rescue him, too.
Oh, nice.
So it was like,
it was
you know.
It was a double whammy. Oh,
yeah. Maybe he was like wondering whether she did that just to get out of marriage. Like, did she get sick after he proposed?
Yes. She said yes, though, before. And that's when he realized that everything was not good with her.
Okay.
So he called 911. Poor guy. That's a great story to tell the kids later on.
Memorable.
Well, finally, the search continues for a former Tennessee teacher who allegedly abducted a 15-year-old student. A nationwide Amber Alert has been issued for Elizabeth Thomas, who officials believed was kidnapped by Tad Cummins last Monday. Officials say it appears that Cummins planned the abduction. He had planned the abduction before. Josh Devine with the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation says the 50-year-old was a teacher at Thomas's school before he was fired last for inappropriate conduct with her earlier this year. Apparently, the pair had been spotted kissing in a classroom, and the incident was reported. Disciplinary protocol followed. Thomas's family is pleading for her safe return. The family gathered at a candlelight vigil in Columbia, Tennessee over the weekend, but they're not alone. Cummins's wife has also taken to the airwaves, pleading with her husband to end the madness. Here is Tad Cummins's wife, Jill, making a plea to her husband to turn himself in.
Please do the right thing and turn yourself into the police and bring Beth home.
Dang. And yep. With Today in Sound Clips, I'm Joanna Barba.
The Buzz Adams Morning Show podcast is brought to you by Lindio. Discover a new world of small business loans and a new way to finance. What's next right now at Lindio.com.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. For more, head to BuzzAdamsShow.com.